How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Praise the Lord. Rhema's a great place to be. Isn't that right? I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me about coming to Rhema as a student. And as I announced that to, we announced that to our relatives and everything, our relatives were less than thrilled about that fact. They didn't know about Rhema. They didn't know much about it other than one of the relatives made this statement. They said, "Oh, I don't know if I don't think you ought to do that. You know, we heard about this one girl. She decided to go to Rhema and she got killed on the way down to Rhema." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm sorry about what happened to her, but I said, I won't be killed on the way down there. I said, because the Lord told me to go to Rhema." They looked at me, I was like I was a nut, you know, and fell out of a tree or, you know, and didn't know what I was saying. And so some of the family later on, as we moved on in the things of God, you know, they admitted that they thought I was just on one of Marvin's whims, you know, but they see that it's working now. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I just thinking about that, not everybody's going to cheer you on in what God has for you. Some people think you ought to move when you ought to stay. Some people think you ought to stay when you ought to move. And, you know, people have various ideas. I've had literally in all, you know, people mean well, ministers mean well, but how many of you know, especially ministers, we know this, that the call of God comes from God. And I've literally been prophesied into all five of the fivefold ministry at various times. And it was interesting, the one that I've been called into is the least of what they brought up. Amen. But you know what? We don't need a word from God in the sense of a prophecy. It's good. And I'm not despising prophecy. The Bible says not to despise prophecy. Isn't that right? When it comes at the right time and when it's good, it's a good thing. Isn't that right? But let me just say this. If that's all you got and you've not heard from God yourself, you really don't have enough to run on. You really don't. I've seen people that got married because somebody prophesied they ought to be together. And it was a living hell for them. It didn't work. And you know, so we look to the Word of God. How many of you know we need to hear from the Word of God? And we cannot let the Word of God take second place. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. I'm going to give you this, these scriptures, and then I'm going to, then also Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And then I'll, we'll look into it just a little bit. But it says here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the Spirit, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says it this way: "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God." Now, I'm speaking to a room full of people that are here because you want to please God. And so we want to realize that yielding to sinful nature, is not going to please God. It's not going to cause you to be able to move in the things that God has spoken to your heart. Now, technically, what we're talking about here in the context of these verses is this. Paul is contrasting those who are already born again versus those who aren't. And so we see sinful people that are, we say they're sinners. I was a sinner before I got saved. Isn't that right? How many of you know there's a difference? You're not one or the other. I mean, you're not both. You're one or the other. Let's put it that way. And so, people who are sinners will sin because that's their nature. But they don't please God. But now here's the thing. There are times that we who are born again start looking at some things or paying attention to our flesh, the sinful ideas and thoughts that we used to have. And how many of you know that causes us to act a certain way, just as much as listening to the Holy Spirit causes you to act a certain way? I feel like Brother Bill tonight. Can't get an amen preaching like that. Amen. Isn't that right? He said, Brother Yoda, well, let's just move in the Holy Ghost tonight. Now, let's just forget about what you started to say tonight. Well, listen to me. Just listen to it, and it'll help you to move in the Holy Ghost. It'll help you to move and follow the Spirit of God by what we're saying tonight. And so, now, over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, we read this. Paul said this, if then you were raised with Christ. How many of you know that's talking about you? How many of you know it's good to find yourself in the Bible? And you might want to mark it down right there. This is talking about you right here. If then you have been raised with Christ, that's us. Now he's talking to us. Now he's getting ready to tell us something. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Now, in both of these scriptures I just read, there's a phrase that I want us to get a hold of that I want to talk about tonight in all of this. A lot of things we could bring out here. But in Romans 8:5, it says this, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, we understand it. You would say it this way, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So this phrase, set your mind. Everybody say that with me. Set your mind. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above. Say it with me again. Set your mind. Set your mind. Say it with me this way. Set my mind. Let's make it personal. Set my mind. Amen. And so it's interesting here in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. In verse 1, he tells us to seek those things which are above. So, and then in verse 2, he tells us to set our mind. So evidently, seeking the things above and then setting our mind, it works together. Those two things are not independent of each other. In other words, how many of you know somebody set their mind on something and it wasn't necessarily godly? They're just being stubborn, you know, or being difficult. But here it's very clear that we're to seek the things above, and it seems to tell us this, that what we find there is what we set our mind to. Can I get an amen? And so what does that mean then? Well, the phrase set your mind is actually a phrase that we have in our English language. In the Greek, it's just one word. Phroneo. it means this, to exercise the mind. Now, as soon as I said that, there are some people that we leave behind right now because they let their mind just go anywhere they want. Their mind wanders here and there and this place and that place, thinking about this, thinking about that. There's no specific direction to their thoughts. They don't exercise their mind. They just kind of let their mind go one way or another. Okay? And it means this, to exercise the mind to entertain or to have an opinion. To have an opinion. Okay? It also means this, to be mentally disposed, more or less, in a certain direction. You know what I'm saying? And so there is this setting our mind so that we're disposed or inclined to go a certain direction. It also means this, finally, to intensively to interest oneself in with concern and obedience. In other words, I am to set my mind. It means that I will get intensely involved with that. And I will obey, and I will be concerned about that and obey. It doesn't simply mean this, I think I'll do that. It is not a flippant decision. I'm setting my mind. I'm setting my mind. Here's the thing that we see about Jesus in Luke 9:51. When it was time for Jesus to be crucified, the Bible says this, 9:51. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, he knew what was going to happen. It was not a light decision. He set his face. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that tonight. He set his face. And this is another way of saying he set his mind to go there. He let nothing deter him from going there. When it was time, he focused in on that. He said, I'm going to focus on my mission. I'm not letting fear. I'm not letting opinions. I'm not letting circumstances. I'm not letting this or that. I'm not letting suffering. I'm not letting pain get me away from fulfilling the mission that I have. And so he set his face. I'll say it this way, that many times I've met people that have never made up their mind in a definite way to go do something for God or even to do something in life. They're just waiting. They're waiting for someday to come. They're waiting till, as one man said, he said, he was waiting for all get all his ducks in a row. He said, I finally got it done. He said, and then somebody went and shot the ducks. But you know, now listen, so you can't just wait for favorable circumstances to fulfill the will of God. Come on now. It's like Ecclesiastes says, he who observes the clouds will not sow. I mean, growing up on the farm, the weather was never perfect. One of the favorite subjects of farmers is complaining about the weather. It's always too dry. It's too wet. The frost is too early, or the rains have come early, or, you know, it's one of those things. But that doesn't stop them from putting the seed in the ground, because they know if you don't get the seed in the ground, you're not going to have a harvest. Isn't that right? So here's the thing, folks. We cannot just sit around waiting for perfect circumstances before we make up our mind or set our mind to do what God wants us to do. You're going to wait until after you get to heaven, if that's the case. Amen? T. Harv Eker said this in his book on Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. He said this, for the most part, I'm looking at you, I got a door back there. Now listen to this statement. He said, for the most part, we're like robots running on automatic, ruled by our past conditioning and old habits. I'm going to let that sink in a little bit. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, here's the thing. Most people go through a day, any particular day, any given day, without really making quality decisions. They simply respond in the way that they've been programmed. What do we mean by being programmed? Everybody has been programmed by the things they've seen, by the things they've heard, and by the things they've experienced in life. And if we're not careful, we are going to react and in according to what we've been programmed, and instead of positively being able to move forward, overcoming obstacles and actually getting the will of God done, we're simply busy responding or reacting and doing things in response to the circumstances around us. And the devil knows that. When he sees that, here's what he does. He's going to keep circumstances coming your way. He's going to keep you reacting. Why? Because if you ever learn the truth that you can set your mind to do the will of God and to do what God told you to do, irrespective of what's going on your left, on your right, that there is, you can't just wait for everything to be perfect before you step out. Listen to me, my friend, the devil does not want you to make up your mind and set your mind, I will do the will of God no matter what. He wants you to get to that place. I'll tell you the truth about it. I don't think he really minds Christians being passive and just not really attempting to do much. I don't think he minds that. It's when you get out to do something, and it's when you go to do what God said. Because you see, each one of us is uniquely different. Each one of us is equipped to and designed to accomplish certain things in the earth. And so we need to recognize that there is a mindset that we need to develop. Our mindset shows up in our attitudes, our words, and actions. Dr. Sumrall said it this way in his book, Overcoming Compulsive Desires. He said this. He said, believe me, there is no such thing as an idle thought. We are what we think. Nothing reveals our true selves as much as the things we allow our minds to dwell on habitually. And these thoughts inevitably show up in our attitudes, our words, and our actions. And so we are to direct our thoughts daily so that we can live godly lives and fulfill our destinies that God had planned for us. It takes daily controlling your mind, controlling your thoughts. And you see, here's the thing. Here's a couple ideas for you. First of all, our response in any situation is predetermined by the mindset that we have developed. In other words, you come under pressure, you're going to, almost without thinking, you're going to find yourself responding in a certain way. You say, well, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Well, it was determined by what you allowed in your mind in the past and that you dwelled on habitually. All right. Here's another one. Our resilience in times of trouble is determined, listen to this, I'll explain it after I tell you this statement, is determined by the castles we build in our soul. What do we mean by that? Well, I've had the privilege of going and visiting, being in some castles in Eastern Europe a number of years ago. And one thing I noticed about castles is they're large and they appear quite permanent. and they're impenetrable, difficult to penetrate, and hard to overcome the defenses that would be there. And so one of the things that I noticed is that when you, if you have a castle, it's hard to overtake that. You have a, it's a stronghold that you're in. It's a stronghold that you're in. You are, you have a strong grip on your position. Hard to be removed. And so 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 talks about thoughts and imaginations and strongholds in our minds, and we deal with that. Let me tell you this, that I don't have a lot of time to get into it, but thoughts lead to imaginations, and imaginations dwelt upon long enough will create a stronghold in your mind, in your soul. I call it, you're building a castle one thought at a time. Listen, I looked at that, you know, castles are built, you know, we think of them as a whole, but when they're being built, it's one piece at a time. Isn't that right? And so it's the same way with us. If we want strong minds and be able to be resilient in times of trouble, we need to pay attention to the thoughts that we think during the good times, because we're building castles hard to overtake, castles that stand strong against the onslaughts of the enemy. We're building a certain mindset. And so many times when people don't aren't able to stand in times of adversity, it can be traced back. Let's look back. Let's see what you've done with your mind over the years. Well, a lot of people don't know they're supposed to do anything with it. And so consequently, they're not prepared for the difficulty that they're going through right now. Amen. Come on now. Let me give you this thought. Our destinies are determined by the thoughts, imaginations, and memories that we continually think about in our minds. I have met people who've gone through certain things, And what's interesting is years later, the memory of that incident has grown. They're still remembering it every day. And actually, the memory of it is crippling them in their progress. And it's causing them not to be able to move forward in the plan that God has for their life. I want to tell you, I feel bad for anybody who goes through difficult things. That is never pleasant. We have compassion upon people. But my God also said that He would help you get through it. He would also help you get over it. He would also help have a plan for you after you get through that. Life doesn't stop just because. Years ago, my wife and I got invited out by this lady. She was a widow lady. She wanted to take us to lunch just before we went to Rhema, I think it was, as students. And so we went to lunch with her. And on the way back, she said, "Would you mind if I stop certain place?" And so we said, "No, I mean, we're with her, you know." She stopped at the graveyard. And she said, "This is where my husband is buried." I said, "Oh." I said, "How long ago?" You know, I knew her husband had passed away. I mean, she was in the church, you know, that we attended. And I'd never met her husband. I said, "Well, how long ago was it that your husband passed away?" And she it was years, years. She said, "I'm out here every day. I don't miss a day. I'm out here every day. Every day." Now, I feel bad for anybody that loses a spouse. I really do. I sympathized with her in one sense, and I understand in one sense. But my friend, that's not the whole story. That's not the whole plan that God has for your life. Life doesn't stop just because something happened. God's still got plans. God still wants to help. The thing is that lady lived the rest of her life in the light of not having her husband. She never dealt with it. She never got over it. She never moved on. She never had much of a life after that. I'm not criticizing her. I don't know how it is to lose a spouse. I don't know that at all. I'm simply saying that there was somebody whose memory that they entertain held them in a certain place. Okay? Can you see what I'm trying to say? And she passed. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, but that was the rest of her life. See, it's the thoughts, it's the imaginations that we have, and the memories that we hold on to continually, day after day, week after week, month after month, that actually influence us and cause us to move in a certain direction. And determines whether we actually will fulfill the plan of God for our lives or not. I'm convinced there are a lot of Christian people today who know what God's spoken to their heart. And in their heart, they really want to do something for God. But something up here hasn't happened yet. Something hasn't happened there. The thoughts, the imaginations, maybe the memories, maybe something's holding them back. Don't know. But I will say this, that in order to move with God, you're going to have to get into the Word of God, and you're going to have to program your mind on purpose. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. The other thing that I want to share with you is this, that if you're going to fulfill the destiny that God has for you, the plans that God has for you, you're going to have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us this, that we all, that would mean all of us, right? We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, there is the Holy Spirit's activity is to go inside as we look into the Word. He's going to plant that Word inside of us. He is transforming us and building a certain mindset in us, within us, and helping us with that, so that when the time comes that God speaks to us, we have the right mindset to step out to do what God says. In spite of feelings of fear, in spite of not knowing everything, in spite of this or that, in spite of circumstances, we can step out and obey God. We can set our mind to it. In closing, let me say this. I heard the story of a man who determined to go a certain place. He felt like God spoke to him to do that. And as he was some distance away, another country, and so he was traveling to that country. And on the way, he encountered a prophet. And the prophet spoke to him and told him bad things were going to happen there. And the man said, no. He said, the Lord has already spoken to me. And he said, I'm determined to go there. I don't care whether there's bad things happen there or not. Fellow Christians that he encountered says, oh, don't go there. That can't be the will of God. But he said he was not, the story goes that he was not moved by these things, and he determined to go there. You say, who was that person? It was the Apostle Paul. You can read about it in Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. I'm going to tell you something. He had a certain mindset. He set his mind to go a certain place. He set his mind. He set his face to go a certain place. And let me tell you this. We can't sit around waiting for favorable circumstances and letting comfort be the biggest factor that we have that moves us. In other words, I like my own bed just as good as anybody. You know, you all have certain, you know what I'm saying? No bed sleeps like your own bed. You know what I'm saying? And everything. But I want to tell you this. You can't let comfort dictate the outcome of your life. If you do, you won't really get there or ever accomplish what God has for you. Let's set our mind on the things of God to go do it. Every one of us has been uniquely created to do certain things. Come on now. I'm not telling you to get up and leave and go to a far country. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm telling you this. Set your mind to be where God tells you to be. It doesn't matter whether it's another place or whether it's right here. But also set your mind to do what God tells you to do. Don't wait for someday. Don't wait, well, somehow, if it all works out, maybe I can. I've met Christians like that. And I want to tell you something. They're good people. Good people. Good people. Love God. Just don't understand how to get there. And I want to tell you tonight, let's set our minds. Let's develop a certain mindset to think, imagine, and have memories that we can hold on to that help us along the way. Develop a certain mindset that helps us to stand strong in time of trouble, helps us to take steps toward our destiny. Amen. I want to encourage you to do that. I simply wanted to impress upon you, set your mind to do what God tells you to do. Amen. Stand if you would, please. Let's lift our hands up and let's just thank God for His Word. Let's thank God for what He's doing in our lives. Let's determine to seek those things that are above. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why does God tell us to seek the things above? Not because He's being legalistic, but because the answers of this world are in the realm above. The answers we need are in the realm above. What you need is above. It is in heavenly. It comes from heaven. Seek His face. Seek heavenly realities. Seek spiritual truths. Seek the ways of the Spirit. Seek to exemplify Christ. Hallelujah. 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 As you do, then you will be able to set your mind to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you're wondering, this really what do I do? I'm not a Christian. You're talking about Christians here. Well, it begins by receiving Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you've been, something's happened along the way and you've drifted away and you'd say, I really am not where I need to be. Perhaps you're watching online and you never accepted Christ. You've never said, Jesus, be my Lord. Or you've drifted away. Something's happened. Circumstances happened. You're not where you need to be. If you died tonight, you wouldn't be sure whether you'd go to be with the Lord or not. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with this congregation. And anybody in this place that's in that position, pray this prayer together with the congregation. Let's make sure that we're Christians, that we're believers, born again, saved. Hallelujah. On our way to heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Forgive me of my sin. I ask Jesus to be my Lord. I believe that he rose from the dead on the third day. I believe he died for my sins, and that now he's my Savior. I receive him as my Savior. I say Jesus is my Lord. And I thank you that I'm a child of God and that I have a heavenly Father who loves me and helps me in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. If you've been watching online, if you're here in the congregation, you prayed that prayer, find one of the ushers with the red shirts. Let them know about it, and they'll be able to help you with that. We're so glad that you came tonight. We trust that something we said helped you tonight, stirred you up, maybe made you mad enough that you're going to do something about your circumstances, whatever it takes, I guess. Isn't that right? And we just want to tell you, we love you and appreciate you. And continue to pray for Pastor Miss Hagen as they get ready for camp meeting, Miss Denise and Craig, all the speakers, that they would have a spiritual word. It takes a spiritual word. How many of you found that out? To be able to walk your Christian walk in this world today. We need spiritual words from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, high five somebody. I mean, you know, air high five and wave, you know, I've never found a way to wave gracefully yet. You know, it's like, you know, all that kind of thing, you know, but it's fun to do that. Amen. We'll get back to regular hugs and shaking hands. But don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 p.m. Amen. And God bless you. Have a great week.